Hello, listeners. The International Association of Business Communicators, IABC, is a diverse global community working to advance the profession, create connections, and develop strategic communicators. IABC Ottawa, established in 1976, is a community for professional communicators who want to thrive in their career. IABC Ottawa's podcast, The Voice, is one such platform that supports our outreach to connect with our audience. The podcast is back with its new season. And this voice on The Voice belongs to me, Anu Sharma, your host for this season. I'm a communications professional who enjoys being a storyteller and brand builder. In this journey together, we interact with leading communicators worldwide, address questions, and solve problems for our comms community. Technology is rapidly evolving with the advent of tools like ChatGPT, AI, augmented reality, etc. As communicators, creators, and storytellers, we must evolve with this changing landscape. Today, we are very excited to launch our new season with not one, but two special guests on our first podcast for this season, titled Evolving Communications with Emerging Technologies. Welcome Ross Monahan, Vice Chair of the IABC Asia-Pacific Region, lecturer at Deakin University, and former CEO of the Australian Mobile Telecommunications Association, and Paroma Datta, cross-functional digital strategist, currently working with Export Development Canada as a climate data analyst. Welcome, Ross. Welcome, Paroma. It's an absolute honor to have both of you here with us today. Ross, the first question is for you. What key trends or emerging marketing and technological tools should communication professionals be aware of to stay competitive?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be part of this conversation. And look, it's a great question. I've just returned from IABC Asia Pacific's Fusion 2023 conference and be talking to lots of members and non-members about a whole range of issues. Three really stood out to me. Look, AI is top of mind, I think, for everyone. That's one of them. I'll talk about that in a moment. But some of the other issues that I noticed that seem to be on top of mind for many communicators, certainly in this region and from my work with IABC globally, it seems to be global issues as well. And the first one is diversity, ensuring that gender, neurodiversity, sexuality, a whole range of issues are taken into account, both when we're dealing with external stakeholders, but of course also with internal stakeholders as well, which kind of leads me onto my second point, which I know is a big issue after, a couple of years of pandemics and lockdowns. And that's ensuring that you have a happy and engaged workforce. I saw some research a couple of days ago, I think it was from Gartner, but something like 63% of employees now are saying that they've quit their jobs. I mean, that is a huge issue for organizations to address, because if you don't have engaged and happy employees, then you're going to struggle to actually meet your business or organizational objectives. And then, of course, the third one, which I know we're going to talk a lot about today, is AI. And so many organizations are starting to think about this issue. They're struggling with this issue, both internally and how are we going to engage with stakeholders who are also using AI as part of their communication strategy as well. So for me, it's diversity, it's engaging employees, and it's AI.
That's great, Ross. Those are all very important points. What are some of the best practices that communicators can deploy to reap the benefits of these technologies? Paroma, would you like to start with an answer for that?
Thanks, Anu. I'm likewise, like Ross, I'm very excited to be here. Speaking of, obviously, the buzzword of the day, the buzzword of the year, and I think the buzzword of the decade is going to be AI and AI-implemented technology, AI-implemented content generation. So for communication professionals, I think some of the best practices to keep in mind would be when we are interacting with tools such as AI-enabled ChatGPT, something to keep in mind is there should be no room for ambiguity just because of the nature of what the tool is, right? The tool it's a natural language processing model, right? So for communication professionals to make sure that their content is thorough and vetted, we need to watch out for biases or discriminations that can absolutely enter into an algorithm. when interacting with an AI tool, we need to give very clear and concise instructions on what is the kind of content that we want to generate or what is the kind of content that we need help with. There is also the factor of responsibility. So communication professionals have, I think, if not the same, at least I think a higher sense of responsibility and accountability to make sure that the content that we are getting from AI tools is properly updated and we are getting our content from audited technology. And I think a little bit also we have to check into the type of content that's coming out, right? Because let's be honest, in every industry, in every domain, in every country, we have bad actors and bad agents who are looking to create trouble, right? Who have malicious intent and will feed data, will feed biased or divisive or polarizing data into open source tools such as the ChatGPT. So we have to make sure that communication professionals should make sure that the content that is coming out of open source tools is properly vetted for, and it's not, you know, we are not adding into the already growing epidemic of misinformation and divisive content that is out there. I think that's top of mind for me when we talk about best practices.
These are all very important points, yeah. Ross, would you like to add?
And I think one of the difficulties of dealing with AI is the fact that it's an all of organizational issue. I mean, people like the World Economic Forum have called the implementation of AI the fourth industrial revolution, which really signifies how important this issue is going to be for organizations globally. And one of the things that I'm noticing talking with organizations, whether they're in the government, whether they're in the not-for-profit or commercial space, is how do you deal with this? I mean, in some ways, it's a regular change management program, but for communicators and for organizations, you know, thinking about who owns this change and how do you start the conversation and how do you involve all of the key stakeholders in these issues to think about the issues that we're going to be facing both now and into the future, because, you know, we're not sure what the landscape is going to look like in 12 months' time. We've already seen this with the implementation of social media. When that came in, you know, 20 years ago, people weren't really sure. Some organizations, it made me laugh at the time, and they're still doing it now, as saying, look, you know, we don't want to use social media. We just won't get involved in that space, and we'll tell employees they can't use it. Well, you know, looking back, I mean, that was just ridiculous. There are organizations now who are saying, you know, look, we're not going to use AI. You know, we're going to ban employees from using it. But that just ignores the fact that employees are using it. They just have to pick up their phone. They're going home and using it. New employees have been using it. You know, kids and high school kids are using it in Snapchat, in so many other ways. That schools are incorporating it. They're using it to write their essays. So a blanket ban is not going to work. The only approach that is really sensible is to think about the opportunities. How can you use it to do your work better right throughout the organization, but also thinking about those risks as well and minimizing those risks. And just burying your head in the sand approach is definitely not the way to go.
I really want to add to this, Ross, you brought up the fact that, you know, the blanket bans don't work. So I want to add to this, please bear with me. I'm a new parent, so all of my analogies are parent-related. So, you know, if you try to tell your kid, whether it's your toddler or your preteen or your teenager, when you tell them not to do something, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to do it, right? Exactly. So
it's not just kids, right? I mean,
yeah, adults, everybody.
That as well. Yeah,
exactly. I still do it. I mean, the right thing for me to do is not to have a snack before dinner. And I'm thinking out loud and my husband says, don't snack. And what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to snack. So it's just how it is, right? So I don't think that banning the use of advanced technology or innovations that happen in our contemporary time is the solution. Our future is, no matter in which industry you look from, using AI or being interspersed with AI is inevitable, whether we like it or not. I don't think we should fight it. I think we should openly embrace it. And what we should do is, as a communication strategy and as a best practice, is I want to use the word human-led. So we deploy a human-led strategy where we have human intervention at the right checkpost so that we make sure that, yes, we are using all of these tools, but at the right time and at the right process, we are making sure that the tools that we are using and the product and the data and the content that we're getting out of these tools is also ethical, it is correct, and it is solving our problems instead of adding to our problems.
Yes, very rightly put. I think we need these technologies. We have to, as communicators, we're going to deploy them, but we'll be very mindful and we'll obviously manage the ethical practices. Right, today I did a press release and it usually takes me, say, 5 to 6 hours to write a first press release draft. But with the support of ChatGPT, I was able to complete it in around 2 to 2.5 hours today.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Exactly. So you just have to be mindful of the accessibility, the diversity and all the ethical practices, but let it help you, right? So that takes me to my next question. And, you know, we want to talk about these technologies from both strategic and technical standpoints. So Ross, would you please cover the strategic side? And Paroma, would you please help us out on the tech front?
Sure. Well, look, in terms of strategy, obviously, you know, you need to know where you're heading. And I think with the use of AI, there's a few different areas and we could have a whole podcast on strategy and AI. But the one thing I think in terms of managing the opportunities and the risks, when it comes to that sort of strategy, I think understanding the technology is really important, which is where, following on from our discussion about banning it, if employees aren't using it, you're not learning how your organization can do things better. And as Paroma said, employees will find ways around systems if they are banned as well. And the problem with that strategy of just banning it in an organization is you're not picking up on any potential risks or pitfalls of social media. Whereas if you have a strategy of allowing employees to use it and giving them support and having an open, honest and transparent culture about this stuff, you're going to learn from that. And you're going to, as we said in the social media space, fail fast. So thinking about those things, sharing those knowledges, that knowledge right throughout the organization is really important. So I think having working groups throughout your organization to discuss how different groups are using AI instead of having a siloed approach, to have open discussions, communicate on those issues, then, you know, get all of the different perspectives from your organization involved. So then, you know, governance is another really, really important issue, governance and legal issues. So get your governance people, HR, the lawyers involved in all of these sorts of things to start to develop policies and procedures on how you can go about using these AI technologies in legal, responsible, and ethical ways. Now, I think the AI industry is doing a pretty good job looking at responsible AI. From a communications perspective, though, one of the things that working in the mobile phone industry taught me is that risk doesn't just equal hazard. And anyone who's worked in risk communication will understand this. Risk equals hazard plus outrage. So hazard, of course, is the magnitude of a problem times the likelihood that it's going to happen. But outrage is those other things such as community concern and stakeholder concern, which are really going to derail your projects. So in any strategy, I think you need to look at the legal and the regulatory issues. But as communicators, we know that you also need to involve your stakeholders, because there was an issue here in Australia not so long ago where an organization used facial recognition as people were coming into a store to, you know, try and pick people who were had been banned for the store or been caught shoplifting before. Community found out about that and they were forced to withdraw the technology. Now, that was a potential saving for the majority of people, but because they hadn't thought about the outrage factor, they were actually forced to withdraw it. So, you know, thinking about all of these things, where you're heading, making sure that you keep up to date with the latest trends and issues and the technology, but keeping an eye on those ethical, the legal and the regulatory issues is a really, really important part of the strategic process of implementing AI as well.
Oh, and very important points. And that actually, I was going to ask you particularly what ethical considerations should businesses consider when using AI and data-driven approaches in their communications and marketing efforts?
Yeah. And look, I'm sure Paroma will have lots of ideas here. And she's already mentioned some things like diversity, issues, making sure that your data isn't biased. And of course, just about many of the data sets, if not all of them, are biased in some way or another. But I mean, each of us individually is biased. So, I mean, you know, I think ethically, whilst there are some problems with AI, you can do things like ask AI to check your own writing or your own work for any diversity issues or any biases as well. So it's a double-edged sword there. One of the things that particularly concerns me at the moment is the thinking about artwork and things like AI-generated content in the music and the video and the graphic arts and photography space. Now, there's a lot of discussion online. I'm not going to go too much into it, but I have spoken and I've live streamed and podcast with designers and photographers who are absolutely certain that they are missing out on work because of that communicators are using the AI to generate this content. So for me personally, I'm a little bit uncomfortable now using any AI generated art because I feel that, you know, it's unfair of the commercial art and the artistic community more broadly. But that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. And my point there is, I think, you know, discussing these issues with the stakeholders and the communities involved is really the first step in thinking about these ethical issues and then moving on from that, having policies and procedures so that you as an organization do actually act and operate ethically and responsibly.
Very valid point. So, Buruma, would you like to add some technical suggestions, please?
Yes. Oh, boy, would I. You know, from a technical perspective, I want to say that this is not necessarily just our future. This is very much in our present. So I actually want to take an example from my day-to-day life. I'm a business analyst. I'm a data analyst. So my job is to work with huge amounts of data day in and day out. But that's not just my only job because, as Ross mentioned, there is so much communication that we do in our day-to-day lives in our jobs. I have to communicate with senior business leaders who are both my internal and external stakeholders. So oftentimes what happens is when I'm communicating with these people, my audience does not necessarily, they're not from the world of data. So I have to do the translation of all the data analysis that I did. So the way that AI has helped me in my communication strategy is that I have used AI tools to, you know, to merge through large data sets, look for sort text, merge text, look at all the statistical analysis that I will be doing. I have fed rules that I would otherwise be sitting and doing manually. So I have fed rules into the AI system that looks into all of the data that I need to work on. And it provides me a very clean, clear summary of all of the data that I intend to work on. But all that to say is that AI tools and all of these types of technology, they're tools, right? They're meant to help us do our jobs. They're not meant to replace us. They should not be looked as our substitution or as a replacement of the human intervention. So I have used AI to make my job easier, similar to what you did today, Anu. So, you know, it reduced the time that I spent on perhaps manual or, you know, repetitive tasks that can easily be taken care of by a tool. But my job is, my expertise remains in that I have to look at the data and provide the data analysis and do the storytelling and communicate the strategic data-driven decisions that I need to communicate with my business leaders, with my stakeholders. So, you know, that is the technical aspect of using AI. It's just, I want to insist that we look at AI as an assistant, as a tool. It is here to help us do our job, whether as business analysts, data analysts, communication professionals, or whatever have you. It's not meant to replace us. It is meant to help us in our job. But that would be in an ideal world. In the reality is that there is this growing fear amongst creatives, and rightly so, that they will be replaced or that their art and their creation and their content does not have any value. I mean, we only have to look at the writer's strike that's happening, right? And whatever they're saying, their fear, their apprehension of being replaced is absolutely justified. So here comes the accountability that we have to expect from ourselves and as business owners and as organizations, as big, small, medium, large scale organizations, that whenever there is an advancement in technology, our tendency is to go for cost-effective solutions. But in the pursuit of cost-effective solutions, we should not forget that we have to focus on human-driven solutions as well. So from a technical perspective, I want to say that when we approach using or incorporating AI tools or any of these open source tools, we have to make sure that we're not getting rid of the fear that people have is their jobs are being displaced. We should not look at it that way. We have to think of that we are enabling our existing employees or our existing experts to evolve, to develop further, and to become better. We are giving them back time to tackle more complex issues, and the AI is just there to help them do the job that does not require their constant supervision or constant intervention.
I love that. I love that. Use AI as an assistant, right? So that's really an important point. And I am of the belief that AI is not going to replace any of us creators or content marketers, etc. But it's of assistance to us. Yes, definitely. There are questions and there's curiosity. That's why we're having this detailed discussion today. So thank you both for helping us out and answer those questions. And like you rightly said, Paroma, it's humans who have to input those queries to AI to help get that output, right? So
yeah,
we're going to be there and get AI to help us. That also points to the, one of the points that was discussed during the discussion here today, that working groups or trainings could be organized for employees to best understand and deploy these technologies, right? Because there are so many questions. And how do we use it? How does it benefit us? You know, and then it follows the ethical practices, etc. So do you both know of any organizations that are leading the way here and are using these emerging technologies to their best advantage? Have you heard of any examples? Have you read of any examples? And can you point out to those examples? Because you want to follow people who are doing the right thing.
Actually, I do have an organization in mind. It's a small startup, and this is very much relevant to the work that I'm doing right now. So it's called Jupiter Intelligence. It's a small startup based out of California. I love them because they use AI with a combination of climate models and geographical data to estimate the risks that are posed by extreme weather and climate changes for any location on the planet. And what they do is, or at least what they intend to do is, from their work and from their technological innovations, they are looking to extrapolate the data to help us predict weather conditions, particularly extreme weather conditions for specific locations or for vulnerable locations on this planet. Again, climate science and climate data is a very, very new, even though we've been talking about climate change for a very long time, climate data is a very, very new field. So any company that comes out in this domain, they have the added responsibility and accountability of being thorough and making sure that they are vetting the work that they are doing. So that's one company that I want to call out. They're not very old. They were founded in 2017. That's one that stands out to me. Other than that, we obviously have the big players. Obviously, there's Microsoft and there is Alphabet. All of those are there. I cannot comment on how thorough and how ethically, how much they have vetted their algorithms. But I know that they are working on it. I know for a fact that Microsoft is definitely working to. They've employed a lot of content moderators to make sure that the ChatGPT generative AI chatbot that they have, they've hired a lot of content moderators to make sure that they are not further contributing to the problem of misinformation that's already out there.
Yeah, look, I think in terms of innovation, as Paroma rightly pointed out, the smaller and the mid-sized organizations that are really going to push the boundaries initially, because the larger organizations, and for those communicators listening and they're frustrated within their large organizations, understand that that's going to be natural, because those large organizations have a lot to lose if things go wrong. So those smaller, more nimble organizations, the startups, have got less to lose and a lot more to gain from doing these things really well. So for those, and I know lots of IABC members are in those larger organizations, don't be frustrated by the fact. Just understand that that is going to be a natural part of the implementation of a new technology. But I would urge them to start thinking about these issues and be an AI leader. Start to think about these issues. And if you can see any problems, any ethical issues, or any risks for your organizations, I urge people to go back to the Microsofts and the Alphabets and the OpenAIs and put the pressure on them to address these issues from the start. Don't just accept that these things are going to be given to us by the Microsofts of the world, because let's face it, why are they doing this? Microsoft and the other AI developers are not doing it for the good of humanity. Let's be clear about this. They're doing it to make billions and billions of dollars. Now, as Parama's already said, we can't fight this. We have to go with the flow. But I think as communicators, we're well placed to be able to assess the ESG or the CSR issues for our organization, think about the impact on both our employees, think about the impact on our external stakeholders, and ask the question, because as communicators, we're great at asking those questions. Many of us started off as journalists, so we know the importance of asking great questions. Ask the questions of the AI industry or our IT people or whoever is implementing these systems, and get some answers and make sure that safeguards are put in place. Now, of course, balance that with making sure that you use it to understand how your organization could be more efficient and effective. But thinking about that change management process and ensuring that our organizations aren't exposed to excessive risk is really, really important. So I guess I want to close by saying, you know, for communicators out there, please be AI leaders. Get involved, start to try to use the technology, because you'll be able to see the risks, the ethical implications. And if you can see those, then start to put the policies and procedures and ask those questions of the vendors. I think that's really, really important. And I would also add that IABC is a great community of practice to share these thoughts with people, not just in Canada, but, you know, North America and the world as well. There's, you know, IABC has a great focus on ethics. That's one of the reasons I love the organization. The other reason is because we share information. It's like a secret handshake. You know, you reach out to people and they will share their experience, they share their knowledge. So use IABC in this time of amazing change. Use it to your advantage. And if you're not a member, be a member, because we are a great community of practice.
I love that. Be a leader and be an IABC member. Viruwant, do you want to add anything to that?
I really love how Ross has phrased it, for communicators to be leaders in this day and age of AI. And I think right now with the advent of technologies like ChatGPT, it's so easy to be a leader because ChatGPT is open source. So literally, and I mean literally, anybody can go into their web UI and start interacting with the tool. So, you know, the way that the tool works is any information, any data, any text that you feed into it, it's considered training data. If you want to be a responsible, ethical communicator, you start training the tool by making sure that you're feeding it accurate information. So I know just one person or a handful of communicators doing it is not going to be possible, but we need more people to do it both at an individual level and at an organizational level. That kind of brings me to like one of the core tenets of communication for a communication professional is to have social responsibility, right? So social responsibility is not a new thing, but in this era of technology, I think it just has become a very important factor now in how we do our jobs, right? So if this is just because of how the tools are accessible, it's accessible to anybody. Now we have increased accountability and increased responsibility to make sure that the training data that we feed into these open source systems, they are accurate, they're responsible, they're not misinformation, and they're not polarizing or divisive content, or they're not content that are attacking specific groups of people.
These are very valuable insights. Thank you both so very much. Before we wrap up, we would love for you to answer some rapid-fire questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, Ross, one book, podcast, or vodcast that has helped you become a better communicator?
I'd probably have to talk about Shell Holtz. And I think everyone knows Shell's podcast. He's done a fantastic job sharing a lot of information about emerging trends.
Thank you. Roma?
I want to say Humans of MarTech podcast. It's a wonderful collection of episodes that sits right at the intersection of marketing, marketing technology, and communications.
Love that. I'm going to follow both of them. And Ross, what is your communications mantra or your tagline?
Oh, that's a good one. Look, you know, I'm a big fan of teamwork. You know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with a team.
Mm-hmm. So teamwork, all in for that. Paroma? What's your tagline or mantra?
I want to say this is not just for communication professionals. Everyone, check your bias, vet your sources, audit your tools.
Responsible communications. Love that. Okay. Ross, the next one is one tip for future communicators. people who want to get into the industry, what's your tip for them?
This is a bit out there, but it's have a goal. I work with a lot of students and a lot of communicators thinking about their career and where they want to go. And it strikes me that so many people say, oh, look, I'm really open. I'll do anything. Have a goal, because if you have a goal, it really helps you achieve what you want to achieve, particularly for students who are trying, any students listening to this, have a goal, know what you want to do within the industry. It doesn't limit all of those other things that might come up. It just maximizes your chance of being able to achieve what you really want to achieve. And of course, as business communicators, knowing what our communication is trying to achieve is really important, but I don't need to hammer on about that, do I?
That's a great tip. Very useful for me as well. Like, I'm a jack of many, many trades, and so become a master of some. Yes, Paroma?
First of all, I really resonate with what Ross says. It's don't spread yourself too thin, right? I mean, you've got to, at some point, you've got to choose, you've got to pick your craft. But my tip would be, no matter in which era communication professionals are going to join the industry, human beings are never going to go out of the equation, no matter how many tools we have. So don't stop working on yourself.
That's so very relevant also to the entire discussion about that, about ChatGPT and AI, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like, we have AI to help us do our jobs. So that means we have time and energy now to devote ourselves to making ourselves better.
One app that's a must use for you, Ross?
My AI app of choice. I mean, it's, you know, it's in everything like Maps and Google Maps and Siri, of course, but some people will argue and say Bard is better, but I'm enjoying using ChatGPT. That's my go-to at the moment.
Me too. I'll add that. Paroma, what about you?
I really hope I don't get any flack for this. I'm a typical millennial. I was on the social media platforms the year they were created. So I want to say my app of choice is Instagram, but my usage has changed so much. Like, initially, you know, when Instagram came out, it was a photo sharing app with very, very limited usage. Nowadays, I use Instagram as, and I cannot believe this, I'm using it as a search engine and as a tool for curating, you know, not unlike Pinterest. So, and this is very relevant to our discussion today. I think it's not just new technologies, but existing applications, existing softwares are also evolving and changing their use case just for the race to stay relevant. So yeah, that's why I wanted to call out Instagram. It's changed so much since it first came out.
Interesting point about it being a search engine as well. And of course, TikTok is a huge search engine as well.
I draw the line at Instagram. I'm too old for TikTok. So yeah, Instagram is my choice.
That's absolutely enriching. On behalf of everyone at IBC Ottawa, a big thank you to both of you. Do you have any closing remarks that you'd like to add?
If anyone wants to reach out to me, I'm a long-time IBC member. Hopefully, I'll get to Canada next year. I'm on my way to the World Conference in Chicago. So looking forward to meeting so many of my IABC friends. But if you're in this region, the IABC Asia Pacific region, remembering we have almost half the world's population in this region, it is a diverse, vibrant area to be a communicator or to spend your holidays. So reach out to me. Of course, I'm also available on LinkedIn. You can just go to rossmonahan.live/LinkedIn. And then really encourage anyone to add me. And I talk a lot about communication and AI issues there.
Thank you so much, Ross. I've enjoyed being in touch with you and I've learned so much from you. So thank you for being an IABC leader and someone we can look up to. Paroma, do you have any closing remarks for us?
Thanks so much for having me on the episode, Anu. I think I was really excited to be part of the kickoff episode for this season of The Voice. And I think we couldn't have started with a more relevant topic. You know, I use it every day at my work. I've used it in different domains. I've been in communications, in marketing technology, and now I'm in governance and sustainability. And I don't see us stopping the use of AI and, you know, augmenting AI and AI-enabled technology in our work anytime soon. So this was a great conversation. Thank you so much for having me. And it was great sharing the platform with you, Ross.
And likewise, Paroma.
The pleasure is all ours. Thank you so much, Ross. Thank you, Paroma, for being inspirations. And thank you for leading the way for communicators. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Anu.
A big thank you to everyone who tuned in to listen to us. Every month, we will bring you communicators from around the globe and we'll cover topics ranging from internal comms and crisis comms to diversity, equity, inclusion, mental health, analytics, and more. If you have any questions that you want me to ask or any topics that you would like us to cover, send us an email to vpdigital@ottawa.ibc.com. Keep smiling, keep shining, and keep telling those stories that matter.